Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
My country, tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of the icing.
That's perfect with that shirt. Look at that.
Yeah, I'm wearing the, I'm looking.
I need my shades on.
Yeah, it's a bright shirt.
I love
my country.
Patriot.
Hello, everybody. This is the first time I haven't started with greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff. And it's like, well, this is the Catholic Cafe, by the way. And I'm sitting here with my good friends. The band's back together with Ziggy Rodriguez.
That's me.
And I've got Venerable Tom Dorian here.
Hello.
and we, fresh off of July 4th celebration, America's 250th birthday.
Kind of still going on, isn't it?
Yeah. And you know what? We can celebrate this whole year. We have a lot to celebrate, and we thought that how can we not talk about such a, I don't even know, what is it called, the sesquicentennial?
Yes,
which is it. So, yeah, with 250 years.
And Ziggy's not old enough to remember the bicentennial celebrations.
You know, we have bison here in Memphis. I don't know if that has anything to do with that. Yeah. I guess they've been here for 100 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he doesn't, because we
you
went
remember
through
those?
We went through the 1976.
Yeah.
And it was 200 years, and that was a big deal.
Huge.
Big deal back then, and now here we are 50 years later. And we got got this wonderful celebration of our nation, and I am so happy to be American. I'm so blessed to be an American, but that doesn't come like free of charge. There are costs to be paid that I recognize as well. You know, whether it's in terms of the memories of those who fought that we might have a free nation. And all the people that have invested and done the right thing and built up the greatest nation on earth, and really essentially one nation under God. There was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in making this nation. I'm very, very proud to say that, you know, the good kind of pride.
Oh yeah.
In saying that I'm an American, and I appreciate everyone who did that. And at the same time, there's also some aspects that's like, man, we got some issues we got to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got issues in the family. We got to talk about those issues. So it's like, I do want to talk about, you know, what your views on America are. I think of the three of us, two of us really love America. I'm just teasing. Why did you think it was going to be you, Ziggy? Because I know...
we all know that Tom bleeds red, white, and blue. Now, technically, he's getting that checked out by a doctor, because that could be a serious condition.
That could be
condition. It still looks pretty patriotic when he gets the paper cut.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yep.
So we at the Catholic Cafe, we've got the red, white, and blue. It's white icing with the red and blue sprinkles on the donuts. So that's our special, you know, this was in cinnamon oil, donuts.
Yeah.
So that's all exciting. Now, what did y'all do for the 4th? Did you have a good 4th of July?
So, man, we went to this party on the 3rd that was outstanding.
Yeah.
I can't remember where that was. But I also went to a fireworks show. This is a show that my wife's cousin puts together. And so it's just a family thing. But it's about 30 minutes long. It's set to music.
Okay.
And it's over a lake.
They do it real.
It's for a neighborhood.
Isn't
that
awesome?
It's insane. It's absolutely. He's got a trailer full of fireworks.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. That's a lot to celebrate.
Yeah.
Though.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot to celebrate. So, you know, where are we as a nation? I don't know if we have a show long enough to talk about all the great things that this nation affords us, but then also about all of the, I'll just say the precious cargo, the all the goodness of this nation that we stand to lose if certain people get their way.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard for me to fathom. Maybe because I'm the old guy in the room, I don't know. But at the end of the day, it's hard for me to believe that there's people that are, like, unhappy with America, that don't like America. And I'm seeing increasing numbers that are telling me that there's some, not just younger folks, but there's certain folks that have always voted a certain way or thought a certain way that are really, really unhappy with America.
Well, although I do think it's important to bring up, we've during the World Cup, we've had a lot of people, especially from Europe, who are going on social media saying, we've heard all this negative stuff about America.
All these years.
And they absolutely love America. And the thing that they're discovering, though, I think, is they're discovering small town America. They're discovering the hospitality, the close-knit aspect of community, the history of some of these small towns, mm-hmm. even though we're a young nation.
They're traveling from state to state with no papers.
Yeah.
They really are discovering that you can go anywhere in the country you want.
Yeah, and the fact that all these different states are so different from each other as well. It's for them, it's like traveling through different countries in a way.
And most importantly, they're discovering Old Country Buffet. Have you seen that guy? So this guy gets on there and he's like, got a British accent. And he's like, they're bringing me these drinks, and they won't stop, and they keep filling it up. And the lady comes, and she fills it up again, and then she fills it up again. And I'm like going, I only got one drink, but I've had like 14 now. And then he goes on and says, and then I'm getting ready to leave. Would you like one to go? And so I'm leaving the place with a drink in my car, and I'm drinking it on the way home. And I paid for one drink. You know, and it's like just marveling. And then like they're going through the, like buffet lines, and they're going like, wait. All of that? That's my plate? That's it? Now, a lot of people think like, oh, you big fat Americans and you're doing, you know, you're eat yourself into oblivion and whatever, all these excesses. And I think some people may say things like that from afar, but when they get here, this is the land of plenty.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and they start to realize, wow, this is really good, and not just the food.
But we do know how to eat well.
We know how to eat well, and maybe we eat too much. I get all that, but at the end of the day,
I think the one fallback, the one drawback to them coming over here was us running out of beer. How does Boston run out of beer?
Yeah, well, apparently
that's sinful.
Well, apparently there are some heavy drinkers that came over.
Yeah, that's embarrassing, you know, though. You don't do that.
But some of those heavy drinkers came over on the Mayflower too. So it's like, you know, we've had them here for a while.
That's right.
And you're right. So it's just, I really have enjoyed seeing all that anecdotal stuff that shows how people love this country and how people who are not Americans are going like, we've been told the wrong thing for so long. We've been believing the press. You know, wherever the press comes from, we've been believing that you guys are whatever. And they always, the worst thing they can say about Americans all the time is you'll hear like, you're a bunch of cowboys, you know, you're out there just, you know, shooting your pistols and riding the range and all that kind of stuff. And but at the end of the day, it's like, man, these people have been so nice. Mm-hmm. They've been so nice to us. And I'm thinking the hard part for me is I want more Americans to see that.
Yeah.
Especially the Americans that have been disgruntled or the ones that have been, I guess, sideways with America. The ones that will say things, because there's just as much anecdotal evidence from Americans who post stuff on, you know, social media that talk about, I'm so embarrassed by this country and what a terrible country.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, you mentioned the World Cup, but it's like, how can you be in America and not want the Americans to win the World Cup? Now, we're not going to.
But I've had that experience. I had a young lady that was pulling for, I'll say it's Senegal. She's a Senegal whatever. I don't know.
Fan.
And another fan was standing next to us wearing the jersey for the Americans. And I'm like, man, you got to pull for this too, the Americans. And she's like, eh, not really. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, no,
but
not
it's
really.
Not the same thing
but
as
you're
like,
American.
But it's not the same thing as like someone saying, well, this is my team. My team is like the Oakland Raiders, or my team is or LA Raiders. Sorry, I'm showing my age. You know, my team is this, or my team is the Dallas Cowboys, or whatever it is. You know, I shouldn't have said Dallas. I'm so sorry, Bess. Hi, Bess. I'm so sorry I said Dallas Cowboys.
You'll have to edit this part.
Yeah. Now I'm going to have to apologize when I get home. But anyway, the thing is, at the end of the day, it's like not about having a different flavor of ice cream and saying my favorite is chocolate
right.
or my favorite is strawberry. When you're in America, like, it's American-flavored ice cream.
Right.
And it's Team America. We're going for Team America.
Yeah.
You know, and I get if you've got a cultural connection to another country, I'm all for you saying, like, hey, you know, I've got, like, a great-great-great-great somebody
right.
who is from Senegal or wherever. You know, and so there's a part of me that wants them to do well.
Yeah.
You know? But there should be no part of you that says, like, I don't want America to do well.
Especially if you're an American.
Yeah, exactly. So I just... I guess the whole point of this show was supposed to really just be like, God bless America.
Amen.
I mean, we are one nation under God, and we are celebrating 250 years of, again, blood, sweat, and tears, but also just joy of victory, of really the American experiment, I think, is successful.
It is.
It's no longer an experiment. It's like it's the real deal. And there's a lot of jealousy of America, and I think that's where some of the hatred comes from, I think. But it's like, you know, you could have this too. We really want people to be free. I mean, taking for granted our freedoms, mm-hmm. The politics has really, really driven us down these last several years, but really the last couple of decades have been so divisive mm-hmm. in this country. And I would argue, I've said this before, and I'll say it again, I think that our nation is more divided than it was North and South in the 1800s. Wow. I really think it's more divided than that. Now, these are different times. It's not going to lead to civil war like it did before. I just don't think that's a reality. But I do think that in terms of like people saying, well, you're one of those and you're one of those, and that we don't like each other, mm-hmm. Hatfields and McCoys, we will never be on the same page. We'll never like each other, and we'll always distrust each other. I don't think there's ever been more of that.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of my favorite parts about America, you know, I'm going to paraphrase from Alexis de Tocqueville, Democracy in America, where he said that he's a Frenchman who came to the United States, after the French Revolution, just to see what's going on in the United States, this new regime that's being established here, this culture that's being built here. And he visited largely a lot of small towns in New England, and he had a lot to say, but one particular thing stuck out to me that he said was characteristic of Americans that he found intriguing, that an American who'll come home from a long day at work, and he will go down into the cellar, pour himself a drink, put his feet on the table, and dream about what's possible.
Oh.
And again, I'm paraphrasing, and I'm sure he said it a lot better than I did, but that dream, that giving yourself that time to rest and to dream about what's possible, mm-hmm. I mean, I think that is at the core of what makes us special. You know, when I was growing up, they almost had productized, I think, the American dream, where it was supposed to be this cookie cutter thing of, well, it's got to be, you got to have that white picket fence, it's got to be in the suburbs, it's got to be, you know, all of this stuff. And, you know, you started having the marketing world throwing at us the images of what the American dream is and should be. And then we all start measuring ourselves against that representation and against one another. And you end up in a getting caught up in some vanities, getting caught up in envy, getting caught up in stuff that's not really the point. I mean, living in a country where you have that opportunity to take a breath and think, you know what? I'm going to use my time here to build something. I'm going to draw upon my gifts and the passions that are on my heart. And of course, even better, if we as Catholics can say, as a person of faith, I want to build something for the kingdom, you know, yeah. here. But I think just generally, though, having that character of being a people who know how to dream, I think if we lose that we've really lost what makes America special. And I think that we just need to really embrace that aspect of ourselves and of our country, and set aside some of the stuff about what Madison Avenue is selling us and all the commercials about what your life is supposed to look like, or things that you're seeing in social media that cause you to be like, oh no, I guess I don't measure up. Set that aside. Look at who you are, where you are right now, and think and give yourself some chance to think about, if I'm going to let myself dream, and but what's possible?
Well, think about the virtues, faith, hope, and love. I mean, hope, that middle one, that's what you're talking about, hope. Yes. And aspiration. The fact that we have this potential to do great things, that everyone, everyone has the potential. And again, we can get into all kinds of arguments about, like, well, we got these poor people who have been raised a certain way or kept from this. And that, yeah, that's terrible. And that shouldn't happen. But we need to, we you know, all boats rise with the tide. We need that tide to go up and lift all boats so that everyone, because everyone is created in the image and likeness of God, every single person, and everyone should have the same opportunities. And this is a land of opportunity. This is why, this is where all these phrases you see on license plates, you know, really need to for people to realize that those aren't just phrases. I mean, this is where hard work leads to reward. Mm-hmm. And it's always been that way. And we shouldn't demonize people because they worked hard and they get rewards. And we shouldn't keep people from getting their just due, their rewards. And so there's this balance that has to happen. But but there's never been another country on this earth that has been able to provide that. Mm-hmm. Not one other example. And you can say, like, well, but you know the Finnish people. You know, in Finland, they're the happiest people on the earth for 9 years running. That's some kind of stat I just saw. It's like, well, okay, I get it. There's 5 million people, you know, and I just read another stat: the gross national product or the worth of like the UK. We think of them as a superpower, as a big
whatever. They've always thought of themselves as seventh to the States.
Yeah, and if we in the actual numbers, they're 51st.
That's exactly right.
Right, so it's like in every state, think of the worst state, and I'm not going to name it. Think of the worst state you can imagine, right? That's got more power, influence, authority, money, wealth, than Great Britain.
Well, and it's,
you know,
crazy.
And I think people don't recognize there's now with that greatness comes great responsibility. I mean, we do, and this is why America gets involved in things that are outside its borders, mm-hmm. right? But all of this to say, we could make this a strictly political discussion, and we'd start talking about Republicans versus Democrats or whatever. But at the end of the day, I really want us to all be united as one nation, you know, as our Pledge of Allegiance says, you know, one nation under God. And when I think about the divisiveness in our nation right now, in terms of like these people hate those people hate these people, and it's back and forth, and everyone hates everybody, and it's like, you know, our nation literally is cut in half, right? And at the end of the day, the only way for that to get fixed, I see only one solution, and that solution is supernatural. I think the solution is God, and I think the more we get divorced from religion, so when our kids stop going to church, right, have we done a good job of making church a palatable, breathable, welcoming space? Now, I just sounded kind of weird there with, like, you know, welcoming. All are welcome. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is the fact that we need to be convincing our children that God is good all the time, that we need to be convincing our young people that, like, there is hope and there is aspiration, as Ziggy was mentioning, but it's only found in God. Mm-hmm. And if we are truly one nation under God, then we will continue to be this until Jesus comes back, you know, to bring us the eternal kingdom, right? Until the end of time, we will still be here as the greatest country. Because I look around when I hear people complaining about America, and I'm going like, yeah, but what else is there? And I have not seen one other place where I would want to live. Yeah, Finland sounds like a nice place. Gets really, really cold, and there's 5 million people there, and they don't have much of an immigration program, right?
They have saunas.
I'm sure they do. They need them, you know. And I have nothing against Finland, but I'm an American. I was born in America. I love this country. I don't want to go anywhere else. And what I want to step back, and even with warts and scars and a few, you know, broken, mended bones and some things in the past that have been troubling, but it's like you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. This is the greatest nation, and I'm not talking about like nationalism in terms of like some kind of fascist nation that says we will overtake the earth and that's our goal, because it's not our goal. Right, but at the same time, we got some great stuff in America, And I am not opposed to sharing it with anybody who wants to come, like, for the FIFA World Cup and look and go like, hey, I will share this with you. Mm-hmm. This concept of freedom that we have, this unique concept of you can say anything, do anything, you can believe anything you want. You have that right. It's enshrined in our Constitution. You can do that. I will share that with you. You can take this idea back, and you can do that in your nation.
And one thing that strikes me, returning also to these World Cup visitors, right, who have been traveling through the United States, for those of you who don't know, the World Cup games are all over the U.S. So these people who are coming in from Europe, the reason that a lot of their videos that they're capturing on social media are in these little small towns on the side of the road is because they're driving from one stadium to another, and they're driving like hundreds of miles, you know, sometimes way more than that in order to get there. And so the America that they're discovering is these small towns on the side of the roads. And a lot of people, you know, who get caught up in sort of the campaigns of, oh, you got to keep up with the Joneses, you got to have your white picket fence, and all of this other stuff. And we can find ourselves very tired and very exhausted. And we find ourselves, yeah, you're in a nice suburb, but do I even know my neighbors? Right. And a lot of times people in that world can find themselves looking down upon the folks who are out in small time America and saying, well, those guys didn't really make it. But I think the Europeans who are visiting and stopping by and getting to know these folks are seeing that these people have made it. Mm-hmm. They've maintained it. They've kept it because they're in a small town. They know each other. They have community. They own their own business. You know, they are their own boss. They dreamt about what's possible, and they put together an awesome wing shack or whatever it is that they wanted to sell.
Or maybe they built it up to a Buc-ee's.
Yeah, exactly.
Those Buc-ee's videos are hilarious with these people going in there going like, this can't be a gas station. A gas station is supposed to be a place with a dirty toilet, a gas pump, and like a broken coffee machine.
Right.
This is not that. This is Buc-ee's, and it's like,
look at all the flavors.
but that too, Buc-ee's as well. But I just think that there is something about small town America that we need to allow ourselves to embrace, and also something. A lot of those small towns on the side of the road, a lot of them also have faith and are trying to live good Christian lives the best they can. And so I think we have a lot to learn from those people who oftentimes they get left out, you know, from a lot of Americans' imaginations, from politicians.
We see them every 4 years when you see a political voting map.
Right,
and
yeah.
No, literally you do, when all of a sudden you see which side voted like predominantly, and all of a sudden you see this colorized map where it's like it's everywhere except for L.A. and New York,
right?
And then it's a sea of a certain color, because those are those people. Those are people that are like living on the highways and the byways and on the little roads off to the sides or whatever.
It's the flyover people.
Yeah, the people that you don't think really are there. Mm-hmm. And they seem to be quiet because they don't spend a lot of time on social media. Mm-hmm. Right? But at the end of the day, they're there. And that's why I think the social media concept is really a bubble that people live in and think that's really what's going on in the world. And it shows you the pulse. And I think even Americans need to rediscover America. Mm-hmm. And to realize what a good thing that we have here, especially really only if we realize it's one nation under God. Mm-hmm. Right? So I'm praying for that supernatural kind of rebirth. I'm going to do my part to help like my kids, you know, and other people that I encounter. I've spent time teaching in high school. I've still got the high school bowling team, you know, and we still have influence as older folks on younger people who have certain ideas that they've gotten, wherever they've gotten them, that are wrong. And I'm just going to go ahead and say they're wrong, but I don't go and say, like, by the way, you're wrong, unless they're asking me outright, do you agree with me? And I'm going, no, I don't agree with you, and here's why. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's always amazing when I have a really good conversation with somebody and I'm not shut down.
Right.
Right? If there is actual civil discourse, it's amazing how people can be reasoned with, especially people who have come to a conclusion that they don't like America. They're embarrassed by America. That they hate America. And I hear every year, you know, people talking about if this so-and-so wins this election, I am moving out of the country because mm-hmm. I just can't live in this country anymore. It's like, well, okay. But I will tell you this, every single one of those people has come back. I don't know of one celebrity that's still in wherever, because they all end up coming back. And you start thinking, you got a lot more money Yeah, you start. There's a couple of them that who
they're holding out.
Yeah, yeah, but they're not really there. They've got like a still that.
It's like a vacation home.
Yeah, that they're there for 6 months in America. Right. You know, when they have to come back and get their clothes washed in a washing machine right. that works. You know, and it's like it's just amazing to me how when you have civil discourse, like that freedom of discussion, that respect for each other. That's the answer to all of our political woes, and it's certainly the answer to all the world's woes is like communication and the ability, the free exchange of ideas. And the honest truth is this is the only way you find truth, mm-hmm. right? And that's why freedom of religion is one of the most important enshrined rights that we have as Americans, is that we can worship who we want and how we want, even to the point where you can name atheism as a religion. You know, it can be a recognized religion, and it's like it's crazy to me. But at the end of the day, this is the country that is one nation under God. And here's the last point I kind of want to make about this one nation under God part. It doesn't matter. You know, you've heard the old expression, like if a tree falls in the woods and there's no one there to hear it, does it make a noise? Mm-hmm. My answer to that is yes.
Yeah.
I know it would make a noise. I know it. I know it does. It's the same thing to me about. The idea that, like, one nation under God. What if you don't believe that? It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It's true. Mm-hmm. This country was founded on Judeo-Christian ethics and morals and laws, and that's exactly what this country was founded on, and it is and will continue to be. And as long as we glorify God, God will help our country to grow and to be a great place, a land of opportunity, of freedom, of success for anyone who wants to give it a go.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.